Live Creative Now, episode 50.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hello, I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full color creative life. Because no matter how you define yourself, whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist or anything in between, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it is how you change the world. That's what we're all about here at Live Creative Now, changing the world through creative play. God, what a radical thought, huh? In the last episode, episode 49, I talked all about the antidote to boredom and my secret weapon against gremlins. Today's episode, episode 50, is the first part of a two-part series all about what gets in the way of clearing out clutter. And speaking of clutter and clearing it out, the next session of the Great Clutter Bust starts on Tuesday, April 12th. If you have a clutter problem, whether it's stuff piling up around the house, or maybe you have a closet of doom, or a garage of doom, or an attic of doom, or like I used to have, a studio of doom. Or maybe you've got digital clutter. Maybe your computer is cluttered with piles of files that you don't need. Or you've got paper clutter, recipes, or music lying around that needs to be decluttered and organized. Or if you need help clearing out the clutter in your schedule. Whatever your clutter situation is, you will be amazed at the transformation you'll create in the Great Clutter Bust. And how does this relate to living a creative life, living a full-color creative life? Well, if you have experienced life with clutter and then experienced life without clutter, you understand. Because when we are surrounded by clutter in our environment, and let me be clear here, that clutter and mess are two completely different things. Mess is the sign of activity, of creativity. It's when you're in the process of creating something, whether you're making a mess in your kitchen or making a mess at your art table or wherever. Mess is life, is energy. Clutter sucks energy, drains energy. It is stuff sitting around, not being used, taking up space, sucking the life energy out of your space and out of you. And I don't know about you, but when I am surrounded by clutter, I feel heavy and disorganized and incompetent and blah. And when I am surrounded by beauty and order, it shifts my entire energy. So it is absolutely relevant to living a full-color creative life to clear out clutter. So, now on with today's episode. Live creative now. Live creative now. So, as I mentioned in the introduction, in a couple of weeks, I am running another session of my Great Clutter Bust, which is... it's happening in the spring right this time around. So it's really a communal spring cleaning party on steroids. The Great Clutter Bust is what enabled me to finally declutter over 20 years of accumulated stuff in my studio and transform what I referred to as my studio of doom into a studio that I love. I love being in my studio now. And I used to walk in and just go, ugh, because it was just so filled to the rafters with clutter. And in fact, I created the Great Clutter Bust out of a sense of total desperation because, you know, I spend most of my time here in my studio. This is where I record podcast episodes. This is where my computer is. This is where my art table is. And if I'm not at my treadmill desk working on my iMac, I'm at my art table. And until the Great Clutter Bust, I would literally cringe every time I walked in the door because the sight of all the stuff in this room just weighed on me so heavily. And I felt disorganized in the space. It made me feel out of control and incompetent and kind of depressed. And for years, I had wanted to clear it out, but God, it just seemed like such a monstrous, Herculean task. It really felt impossible. I did not even know where to start. So finally, last spring, 2015, I took everything that I knew about making big projects happen, including the 6 keys that I teach in my free webinar, which I offered a week or so ago, called The 6 Keys to Eliminate Procrastination and Unlock Kick-Ass Productivity. If you didn't get a chance to see that webinar, just get on my mailing list and I will let you know when I offer it again. In any case, I leveraged all the things that I knew about making big projects happen, including those 6 keys, in order to create the optimal conditions for success so that I would actually succeed in this huge, overwhelming task. So I very intentionally designed the Great Clutter Bust to include a supportive community because we need community. We need to encourage each other. We need to find encouragement from other people. We need inspiration from other people. Other people can help each other. We can help each other stay on track. I also designed the Great Clutter Bust to include scheduled times to do the work, including live calls where we check in about what we're going to focus on during this particular block of time, and then we all go off and work on it together virtually. It's pretty cool. I also incorporated deadlines into the Great Clutter Bust because with these live calls, we're going to report back on the other end. So we've got whatever it is, 2 hours or 3 hours to do whatever it is we've said we were going to do. So there's a built-in deadline. And there's also built-in external accountability. There are people to report back to make sure that we actually did the work that we said we were going to do. And it worked like magic. Little by little, over the course of a month, and in some cases, big chunks by big chunks, I cleared stuff out of my studio. I carted it away. I liberated floor space. I liberated air space. And I ultimately overhauled my entire studio, including over the course of the next session of the Great Clutter Bust, included hacking a new standing desk / treadmill desk from IKEA parts. And I have a link to where you can see pictures of that in the show notes. In fact, I have some of my favorite before and after pictures of my studio in the show notes. So go check that out. livecreativenow.com/050 will get you to the show notes. Now, I am not going to kid you. It took a ton of work to get from before to after, and I could not have done it without the Great Clutter Bust and the awesome support and encouragement from everybody in the group. People would go off and they would, you know, share their before and after pictures, and that would inspire me and motivate me to take the next step that felt really hard. And it was amazing. I got it done. A huge project like this, the thing about it is it does not happen overnight. But thanks to the Great Clutter Bust, I finally made the time because it took a lot of time. And if you don't make the time, it just doesn't happen. But even more important than that was the emotional support, because clearing clutter isn't just a matter of putting in the time. There are really deep-rooted emotions tied to our stuff. And unless and until we deal with those emotions, there is no way that we can get rid of it. Because the emotions are like permanently bonded to stories, really. False narratives that make letting go of what's no longer serving us feel impossible. And not just impossible, but it feels like harmful to let go. These are false stories, but these are things that we take in very, very strongly and they feel true. But the real truth is, when you clear your space of the stuff that's not really serving you, not only does it transform your environment, but it changes your life. Because releasing objects that contain within them emotions and beliefs and identities and all kinds of crud, it frees us up to allow new storylines to come in. It's so powerful. It is so powerful. But the thing is, it's not always easy to see the stories, let alone dredge up the courage to do something about them. So that's what I'm going to do for the rest of this episode. We're going to shine a light on some of these stories. Today, I'm going to look at four common excuses and the stories that come along with them, which might be preventing you from shedding your own clutter. They certainly have prevented me from shedding my own clutter. And I'm also going to share some possible sort of reframes, responses to these common excuses. So, starting with number one, the first excuse, I might need it someday. Oh my God, how much stuff have I held on to because of these five very innocuous sounding words? I might need it someday. But ask yourself, will you really, truly need it? And then take a look at that maybe someday, that need. I might need it someday. Is that maybe someday more important to you than the glorious space that you will be liberating? Now, I speak from experience here, and believe me, I love stuff. Stuff is really awesome. But unless it's something that brings me joy, brings me delight, or is really useful to me on a regular basis, I have come to value space more highly than stuff. This is a pretty big change for me, and it's very much thanks to the Great Clutter Bus and all the clearing that I've been doing. But space, there's something so liberating and freeing and opening about having space. And when your space is cluttered with stuff that you truly don't need, and it's not, as Marie Kondo from, oh, what is it called? I've got the book sitting right here. The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, as she writes, really, if everything around you sparks joy, then you're going to be more joyful all the time, right? It's going to be much easier to be joyful if you're surrounded only by things that spark joy. And so many of us are not. We're surrounded by things that our energy sucks. Clutter, right? Now, when you think about this, I might need it someday, I might need it someday. It makes it so hard to let it go. But remember, whatever it is, if you're not actually using it and you do let it go, you can probably borrow it, borrow something like it, rent something similar if you really do have a need for it someday. Or it's a little harder, but you can just try sitting with the idea, just the idea of making do without it. Just allow yourself to think of that possibility. I want to share a little experience from my life as a creator, as an artist. The times where I've gone to workshops where I have not brought like my entire studio of supplies with me, has led to much more creative results when I've worked with just the few things that I've had on hand, or I've had to borrow from somebody else if I desperately needed something. I've ended up being more creative than when I've brought my entire studio with me. Because limits are where, you know, so much of creativity comes from limits. I mean, think about the common phrase, necessity is the mother of invention. We need to figure something out so we will make it happen. So as you're looking at that thing that you think, oh, I might need it someday, remember that. And if you're still having a hard time letting it go, you might find it really useful to hear the perspective of one of the members of last year's spring clutter bust that really changed my own life. She had, not long before the clutter bust started, she had lost a number of people in her life, and she had cleared out, personally been involved in clearing out several houses of deceased people, relatives and friends. And that gave her a really new perspective on stuff and its value in our lives. And I love how she put this. She said, everything is borrowed, even our bodies. It's so true. Think about it. Everything is borrowed, even our bodies. We are here for a limited period of time. Everything we own is like a book checked out of the library. And think about when you go to the library, there might be zillions of books that you want to read, but you can't check all of them out at the same time. You wouldn't even have space for them. So, you know, thinking of that sort of library metaphor and reminding myself that everything is borrowed has made it a lot easier for me to let go of things. Now, I will confess that, yes, I did let go of a couple things last year that, oops, I really did need later. I sold at a yard sale a brayer and a heat gun, a hot gun, because I hadn't used either of them. I think I maybe used the hot gun 20 years ago once or twice when I was experimenting with powdered embossing powders, and then it lived in its box. I never used it again. And the brayer had never been used. Never. I had this brand new brayer, never used it, taken up space. So I sold both of those things along with a bunch of other stuff in a yard sale. And then like 2 weeks afterwards, I ended up signing up for an online course. And guess what was on the supply list? It was an art class, brayer and heat gun. So yes, I will admit that I was pretty peeved for a moment. But when I shared it on Facebook, some friends pointed out that, you know, the $25 or whatever it was going to cost me to replace them was a really small price to pay for a cleared out studio. And they were right. They were right. And you know what? That brayer and that hot gun, I know who they went to. And they went to somebody who was using them with seniors, doing art classes with seniors and stuff. They went to people who would give them a lot more love and a lot more use than I had for the previous 20 years. So I think about how when I release things back to the wild, as it were, where they're going to be used by people. They will be loved by people. Other people will find joy from those things that I do not have a need for. And that really helps relieve a lot of anxiety. And then if I do end up having a need for it, guess what? I can find another item. I can just get a new one. So that is the first story we tell ourselves. I might need it someday. The second excuse is, you know, somebody I love, my mom, my brother, my aunt, my friend gave it to me. I can't possibly let it go because it was a gift. And oh my gosh, this is a tough one. How many well-intended gifts have ended up just occupying dead space in my house? Oh my God. Marie Kondo's philosophy on this helped me so much. She writes in her book, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, "Let's consider this more carefully." This is a quote. "Most of these gifts remain unopened or have been used only once. Admit it. They simply don't suit your taste. The true purpose of a present is to be received. I'm going to repeat that. The true purpose of a present is to be received. Presents are not things, but a means for conveying someone's feelings. When viewed from this perspective, you don't need to feel guilty for parting with a gift. Just thank it for the joy it gave you when you first received it. Of course, it would be ideal if you could use it with joy, but surely the person who gave it to you doesn't want you to use it out of a sense of obligation or to put it away without using it, only to feel guilty every time you see it. And I will just interject here my personal note on that. If they do want you to feel guilty every time you see it, and then I would argue that maybe they're not a really healthy person to have in your life. That's another story. Anyway, the quote ends with, "When you discard or donate it, you do so for the sake of the giver too." Discarding something that is just taking up space and not giving you joy and making you feel guilty, discarding it not only helps you, but you're doing it for the sake of the giver as well. So that's excuse number two. Somebody I care about gave it to me. Let it go. All right, let's move on to excuse number three. This is another hard one. Letting it go would acknowledge my failure or my defeat. So a really common one is, you know, those clothes in your closet that you used to fit in when you were at your skinny weight, but so you keep them around because you keep hoping you're going to get back to your skinny weight, right? Now, me with a history of eating disorders, one of the healthiest things that I did to recover from my bulimia and my distorted body image was to get rid of all my skinny clothes and buy new clothes that I felt good in. Huge. I highly, highly recommend it. Get clothes that you feel good in now and stop torturing yourself. All right, enough of that. Another one, I know somebody who had a lot of baby furniture because they were planning on having a baby and that didn't happen. And letting go of that baby furniture, in fact, they painted an entire room for the baby. That's a really, really hard one to let go of, you know, things that you've acquired in the hopes of having a dream come true, and that dream doesn't come true. Now, you may have stuff hanging around that continually reminds you of failure, but it's hard to let it go because letting it go would force you to acknowledge that failure in a much more permanent way. If you don't let it go, there's kind of this way of like, maybe it'll still happen, right? So one of the examples of this for me was in last year's Spring Great Clutter Bust, I got rid of dozens of Ketubah print samples. I had spent, I don't even know how many hundreds of dollars on ink and paper, printing them out, spent so much time cutting them down to the right size and printing them, and oh my God, and then took them to my framer who bagged them with archival foam core and these beautiful Mylar envelopes. I had all this done because I was going to be in a bunch of wedding fairs. And so these were to display in my booth in a print rack at wedding fairs and hang some of them on the walls of the booth. Well, I did do a bunch of wedding fairs. I did like four of them, and that ended up being a total bust. And it was one of the things that helped drive me very deeply into debt, which I only paid off a couple of years ago. So major failure. So what kind of energy do you think those print samples carried for me? They certainly did not fill me with joy, I can tell you that much, but it felt so impossible for years to let go of them. When did I get them? I got them in 2009, I think it was, And it wasn't until last year that I finally was able to like let them go, because I had to come to terms with the fact that I really did not want to pour my energies back into that old business. I did not want to do any more wedding fairs, even if I still have the ketubah business, and I wasn't getting rid of the ketubah business, but I was not going to be investing more energy into it. So it was a big deal to get rid of those samples, but keeping them, they were taking up so much space in my closet. I think it was about, I don't know, like 10 cubic feet or something. It was so much space, and that was holding me back because there was literally no room for my new life. My closet was filled with these print samples. And I finally took them to a local charity called Resource Area for Teachers that accepts material donations that they then sell to teachers, like classroom teachers, for pennies on the dollar to use in their classrooms. And it was really hard for me to do that, to pack up all these prints, put them in my car, drive them over to Raft, and let them go. But when I did, it was so liberating. It was an absolutely necessary move. It really opened up space for new successes. And that, number three, of letting it go would acknowledge my failure or defeat, is very related to number four, which is the idea that I can't get rid of it because it represents a dream or a goal or an identity that I'm not ready to let go of. Now, this is a little bit embarrassing, but just the other day, I mean, like, I don't know, a few weeks ago or something, I noticed a box on the top shelf of my closet, my clothes closet, pushed all the way to the back, like the side. So it's like behind the wall section of my closet. And it was labeled dance shoes. I had not opened this box in I don't know how many years. And I pulled it out. And sure enough, inside were five pairs of dance shoes. There was a pair of ballet slippers, and there were four pairs of jazz shoes, two white pairs, one with rubber soles and one with suede soles, and two black pairs, one with rubber soles and one with suede soles. In fact, actually, I think there might have been more pairs in there. I think there were. It might have been like eight pairs of shoes. It was a lot of shoes. And I have not worn any of these shoes in more than 20 years. I don't even know the last time I wore them. They date back to when I was a serious dancer. I was, you know, on the professional dance career track. And at age 20, I was sidelined with a really vicious case of tendonitis in my ankles while I was studying in the dance division at the Juilliard School in New York City. And for several years, I held on to all of my dance clothes, all my warm-up clothes. I had all these like knitted warm-ups and stuff to look, you know, it was like the fashion at the time in the dance world, leg warmers and leotards and tights. I got rid of those a long time ago, but I held on to them for years because, of course, I was hoping that I would recover from my dance injury and I'd be able to dive back into dance again. And for some reason, I still had these shoes because some part of me was not quite ready to let go of that dancer identity, even after I'd moved on. I mean, I have not been a serious dancer for 29 years. And the kind of dance that I have done, actually, I have been a serious dancer, but it was salsa dance and then it was Argentine tango. And those shoes are not the right, they're not the kind of shoes that I would wear for that. And then I forgot all about the box. So it was just taking up space. So this time, you know, it was a lot easier for me to let them go because I'm not interested in going back to take modern or jazz or ballet classes. But, you know, there was still a little twinge of sadness for that life path that represented a really huge lost dream for many years. If you're not ready, you're not ready. And you know what? You got to be really gentle with yourself. If you're not ready, you're not ready. You're only ready when you're ready. But remember, when you are ready to let go of the stuff, it will no longer be there to remind you of that pain from losing that dream. And again, holding on to stuff that represents an old identity leaves no room for your new life. So that's excuse number four. I can't get rid of it because it represents a dream or a goal or an identity that I'm not ready to let go of. So those are the four excuses that I'm sharing with you this week. I will be back next week with part two of this series. I hope this has been helpful. And before I sign off, just a quick reminder that The Great Clutter Bust will be starting on April 12th, and you can sign up and read all about it at greatclutterbust.com, all one word, greatclutterbust.com. That's it for today. Until next time, thanks for joining me, and go get creating!
Live creative now!
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.